The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
If you want to pump your body and expand your mind, there's only one place to go. Mind Pump. Mind Pump. With your hosts, Sal DiStefano, Adam Schaefer, and Justin Andrews.
In this episode of Mind Pump, your favorite fitness, health, and entertainment podcast, we answer fitness and health questions asked by listeners like you. Now, in the beginning of the episode, the first 30 or 40 minutes or so, we do introductory portion. This is where we talk about current events. We talk about our lives. We mention studies. We talk about exercise. And then we get into the question portion where we answer questions. So I'm going to go through and give you the breakdown of the whole episode. We started by talking about gyms reopening. So we talk about how there some places it seems like some gyms are reopening and it looks not that different than the way they did before. And how other areas gyms reopen.
You can't stop the gain train.
And it's very, very, very different. Then we talked about the workout we did up here in Truckee. We had a great workout at altitude, so we all had to rest extra long in between sets.
I needed a mask.
But we did use the PRX equipment. This equipment is the best gym equipment you can get for your home. They have squat racks that fold into the wall, great plates and bars, and lots of equipment you can use at home. And we think that it's probably a better option to work out at home than go back to gyms at the moment. And they do have payment plans on their gym equipment. Anyway, you get a discount because you listen to Mind Pump. Just go to prxperformance.com/mindpump. Use the promo code Mind Pump and get 5% off plus a free MAPS Prime program.
PRX, it's dynamite.
Then we talked about Joe Rogan going exclusive to Spotify. Probably a lot of money there. We talked about how TikTok tops 2 billion downloads in quarter one. That's huge. We talked about somebody leaving Disney to go to TikTok. Kevin Mayer, that's his name. Justin brought up a mummy that got found in Siberia, I believe, with tattoos.
A cool mummy.
Didn't know that they did tattoos back then.
Yeah.
I talked about how they identified a human antibody that could be used to treat the coronavirus. We talked about the mental health of people right now being stuck at home. We also talked about how 60% of CFOs don't expect business to return to normal until at least 2021. And then we gave you some good news. It seems that cannabis may actually help prevent coronavirus. Now, don't take my word for
weed.
It. I read it on the internet, so it could be true. Probably not. And then we mentioned Serene, one of our YouTube fitness experts, who she did an amazing video on how to really activate your abs. Make sure you go check that out at Mind Pump TV. Then we got into the fitness questions. The first question, what is the best supplement or remedy for joint pain? So this person's got joint pain. They want to know what they can take to help their joints feel better. I did mention Organifi's Move product, which is really good. But really, at the end of the day, joint pain comes from bad movement patterns. By the way, if you want to learn how to move better and learn how to prime your body properly, we have extended our MAPS Prime webinar. This is a free class where Justin teaches you how to prime your body before your workouts. He takes you through some assessments. We did all of the classes already, but because they were so popular, we had so many people that wanted to attend them again, we did one more. It's happening Saturday, May 30th. You can sign up at mapsprimewebinar.com. By the way, even if you don't make it to that day, you get a free replay.
You got to feel it to believe it. Try it out.
The next fitness question, this person wants to know, look, with gyms reopening, everyone is investing in at-home gym equipment. Like, what is the best pieces of equipment I should get for my workouts at home? So we talk about the essentials of what can give you good workouts at home. The next question, this person wants to know, look, in your experience, what's the most effective weekly caloric surplus when you're trying to gain weight and muscle? So how much over how many calories you burn should you eat to make that happen while minimizing fat gain? And then the final question, this person wants to know, what do we think about a weekly 24-hour fast? Like, what's the value? Is there value in doing that? Also, this month, MAPS Starter, our great beginner workout program at home where all you need is a physio ball and dumbbells, is 50% off. Now, it's also valuable for those of you who have experience. It helps you relearn perfect technique because you are training on a physio ball. But again, it's ideal for the person wanting to get into resistance training. These are people who don't have tons of experience, but they want to reap the metabolism-boosting, body-sculpting effects of the most effective form of exercise that exists, which we know is resistance training. Anyway, look, it's half off. Here's how you get the discount. Go to mapsstarter.com. That's MAPSSTARTER.com. And use the code STARTER50. That's STARTER50, no space, for the discount. How excited are you guys for Justin's fans only page? What's it called again?
Weights and Cakes.
Oh,
come on, guys.
That's gonna be so good.
It's still a project undertaking.
This is what's gonna
get us out of throwing
COVID.
Me out there.
Huh? Yeah,
this is what's gonna get us out of COVID.
It's,
man.
It's another free webinar.
You've been pushing this idea for a long time, and now it's like, oh yeah, a pandemic.
Don't
fight
it, bro.
Sense.
Be a team player.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Dude, you know? Anyway. Yeah. I was.
There's other ways to make money.
And then today I get dressed, and Adam points out that I match perfectly again.
Your onesie.
Yeah.
Okay. You can wear gray on gray. It's just you can't wear that gray on gray.
It's the exact same.
Yeah. You can't do that.
It totally is the same.
You know what? I didn't even think about it. I just put it on today. Like, it matches.
Do you ever think about what you put on?
Sometimes.
You just wear.
It's so simple. It's one.
That's what it looks like. That's, when I go to weddings and stuff, I think about it. Otherwise, I don't think about it.
Ready for the day, but, you know, relax.
Dude, I am embracing the like scrub look.
I know. We did the webinar. I announced to our audience that Justin and I, we didn't have Sal today. We brought our bum friend here.
Or our homeless guy.
That's
that we took in.
Correct.
Yeah.
Adam, it's homeless.
Yeah.
You can't say that anymore.
Yeah, I don't think that works anymore. Yeah.
Dude, great workout with you guys the other morning.
Yeah.
That's like workout.
Yeah, I had fun.
Hold on. In 5 years, how many times total have we worked out together? Where we've actually worked out together?
Like 3 times.
Is that, would you say that's about
maybe three? A little more than that.
Yeah.
Under 10.
I remember
like NorCal, and then it was like 2 other gyms.
Yes, I remember the NorCal workout because you guys couldn't lift as much as me. That's not true.
I definitely don't recall
that. That's not true.
Back in my body,
we were doing a lot of farmer carries. And,
no. We did NorCal. We did club sport a few times, and then maybe a couple times in our own studio. And now here, you know?
Yeah.
Now this was
big tech.
So Justin and I have already experienced this. Now this is your first time working out with the whole PRX setup, right?
Yeah, it's really stable. It's really good. It's crazy how they make us something that comes off the wall feel more stable than your traditional cage. It's anchored at the wall.
Well, I remember when Justin was first putting it together, my big concern about putting it on that side was it would eliminate the space to be able to back his truck or my truck in because they're pretty long. And I remember him like showing me like with his hands like, yeah, it's only about...
what'd you say? How much would you say it is
like
off the
foot? Like a
foot. Maybe, right?
Like a foot.
One foot.
Yeah, like 1 foot off the...
I was going to insert dick joke, but I held back.
Yeah. He's halfway the distance between.
Yeah,
so it's it doesn't take up much space at all.
But it was
a great workout. And you guys are thinking about putting some kind of cable equipment or something on the side
over here.
Yeah.
We'll see.
That plays out. We're just thinking about, you know, especially racking the dumbbells and everything and getting everything organized. That's like the last piece to this.
Well, it's almost like a $5,000 purchase. So we need Justin's fan page to.
We do. We do need to kick that on. Get you guys over there. Get you paying. You know, I'll put out some good content for you.
So you're
on some moves.
So what happened to your shoulder? Was it while we were working out? Were you tweaked a little bit?
No, I aggravated it again, but I don't know.
I feel like every time you try to lift as much as Justin, remember the squats? The squats did it.
I mean,
the shoulders.
Yeah, yeah. It's difficult.
I wasn't even trying to go heavy, man. I tell you. Back to talking about how awesome of the PRX setup, I'm really excited. The pull-up bar is the best part about it.
Yeah, so what I did with Doug, is doing MAPS anabolic phase one. I'm just following whatever. I'm not really following a specific program. I felt like doing a lot of volume that day. So he was doing deadlifts.
You're mostly copying me.
Mostly. So he was doing deadlifts. I did some walking lunges or whatever. Then I did some presses with Justin.
Yeah.
Then Doug and I got ready to do another back exercise.
Then me and Adam left.
Yeah, you guys left.
Right?
Yeah.
And we were talking or whatever. Yeah. And then all of a sudden we look outside and you were still working out. Yeah. Kind of.
You know what that just reminded me of is jabbing you about copying workouts. Do you remember being a trainer and like, you know, your members that knew you were a trainer in the gym, and then you would be on your workout time, and then they would be like totally following your workout.
Yes.
Yeah. Catch,
so you want to know what I used,
catch a glance and then look away real quick.
We used to fuck around with clients just because of that.
Oh, here's what I did. I wonder if you guys I would
jump in Jack Burpee shit like that. Yeah.
I would do some exercise I just invented. Yes. And I'd wait and then see other people doing it. Or wait the next day.
Yeah. Single leg pistol squat jumps.
Yeah, like a curl side lateral. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I knew you were copying me.
Oh, stop it.
Stop it. Yeah, no way.
We did the workout. Doug and I did, how many sets of pull-ups did we do? 10? What we did is we did the very narrow grips because the pull-up bar has got all these different grips. So we did a set on every single grip.
I'm going to tell you, that's my favorite part. Yeah. I love those grips.
Yeah, yeah. And then we worked all the way back in, and then we did a bunch of other stuff, and then I got to do some exercise. This has always been a dream of mine, by the way. It was snowing, and I got to go outside and do curls.
Hey. This is all Rocky IV,
right?
Ever since I saw Rocky IV.
Okay.
So this was yesterday morning, right? Yesterday morning, we planned this workout together. And, you know, we all kind of get our workout done. And Justin and I head back into the house to, like, get around and get ready. I decided to be a nice guy. I'm going to cook everybody breakfast. So I'm whipping up breakfast.
Yeah, it was delicious, actually.
And it's like, you know, I'm 20 minutes into making breakfast. And I thought we were done with our workout. And I see
we got a lot of volume.
I see Sal is down to the wife beater, and he's out in the snow, and he's flagging Doug over to take photos of him.
Yeah. He didn't pull out the pythons for us. No.
Yeah, Justin yells out the window, "Yo, Jeremy Padilla, what are you doing?"
No. I was working out. Doug came outside.
casually with the fucking camera.
Wait a minute. This is something to take a picture of.
Get this angle right here with the snow. Oh, my God. Look at how the snowflakes hit my hot shoulders.
Like steam is just coming off my ripply biceps.
No, what I did was, Doug comes out and he goes, "Hey, did you want me to do photos with you outside?" And I said, "Come back in 10 minutes. I had to do occlusion. I swear to God, dude. So I did occlusion on my arms.
You gotta stop doing that, dude.
Ballooned out, dude.
When fans meet us, they get like, they're like, "Man, you're
like hulkish there for like a second." You know?
I thought you were gonna be so much bigger in person.
That's fully pumped. Yeah. When you see me in person, it's not.
It's flaccid.
Yes.
We're just doing push-ups constantly. Like, hey, what's up? Why are you sweating?
You guys don't. You guys send flaccid dick pics? Come on. Exactly.
No. Why would you do that?
It's always got to be a pump.
Although you're throwing a range out there earlier, right?
But you know what? I will say this. I always forget when I work out at altitude. Does that make a difference?
Yeah.
That sucks.
Man, it really gets your lungs.
Yeah, I feel like I have to rest at least 2.5 minutes before I can do my next set, whereas normally I'm resting like a minute or whatever. But
yeah, it'll definitely take a while to get adapted to this.
Now, I wonder if because of the adaptation, when you train at altitude, eventually your body adapts.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then
you actually perform a little bit better.
Yeah.
Like towards sea level.
It's exactly. Then you go back to sea level and then you have better training. Boxers used to do that. Although I think the
Olympians do it. Yeah. Any serious athlete knows that.
Yeah. I think the effect though only lasts like 24 or 48 hours if I'm not.
Is that true?
Yeah. I don't think it lasts too long. So like if you train at altitude, and I think the longer you train at altitude, the longer it lasts. But typically it's like 24, 48 hours. The body starts to adapt.
Oh, interesting.
In the other way. Yeah. So I don't know. Anyway,
do you guys know what the latest is on states and gyms reopening? Where I'm starting to hear more and more of them are opening back up.
Well, I've heard definitely Florida, right?
Yeah. So I've had some DMs from.
I thought Texas too.
Texas,
if I'm not mistaken, I know overseas in some countries they've opened up gyms.
Mm-hmm.
So here's what's interesting: we did that whole episode on the future of the gym industry, and you know it's going to be challenging. I don't think anybody can disagree; it's going to be challenging. However, I've been getting DMs from people that really highlights the difference in locality, local governments, and the difference between how some handle them and others. I got some DMs from some people, and I forgot where they were at, but they were telling me, you know, the gyms are a little slower. Everybody is, you know, encouraged to distance each other or to be distanced, excuse me. There's more people cleaning, but otherwise it seems not too bad. And then I have other people who say, oh, it's way different experience. Like I walk in. They take my temperature. There's one gym that takes people's temperature. If you're above 100.4, that won't let you in. They're only operating at like 40%, I think, capacity. And then you have to sign up to work out. And then every hour, if I'm not mistaken, 24 Hour Fitness did this too. Every hour, they shut the place down and they would do like a 20-minute deep clean of the whole gym. Mm. That's got to be a tough situation to operate, you know, in that.
Did you guys see the news with Joe Rogan?
Oh, dude. Yeah. About Spotify?
Bro, that is exciting.
So explain this to me. What exactly is going on? He said he licensed his show, or sold licensing
the rights
for a few years.
It's the rights. Okay, it's well over $100 million. We don't know exactly what it is. I believe that ties him up for 3 years. He's giving up the rights. Now, that means, and the way it works is September, the transfer begins. So he will be on Spotify by September. By 2021, everything will be off other platforms. So
he has to also take stuff off.
Yes. Yeah, so no more on iTunes. No more on YouTube, which is,
I don't think people realize his reach on YouTube is almost just as big.
And the reason why, I mean, you were asking earlier about, you know, how do you value something like that? And the reason is because he's giving up all his rights, which means you're not going to hear him sell ads like he does right now on a show. Now, I imagine Joe makes a few million dollars at least a year just in ad revenue. So
that's got to be more than that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm just sure. Maybe $10 million, right? So say $10 million a year that he probably makes on ad revenue at least. So they got to factor that in because he's going to give that up to Spotify. And Spotify wants all of his listeners, obviously, one, to start streaming from Spotify and hopefully get a membership there. But more importantly, if Spotify owns, you know, 3 or 5 of the best and biggest podcasts and they take them from iTunes, that gives them more advertising power. So that allows them to go over to companies like Coca-Cola or Charmin or Ford.
So you think they're going to – so he's not going to do what he does now, right, where he starts the show and he does a read of sponsors or whatever?
I wouldn't think so, yeah. I think that whole section would probably be eliminated. Well, and just get right into the show.
And even if he does, it won't be his anymore. That'll be through Spotify.
Yeah, so you don't think this is just one of those pure plays that some of these tech companies do where they just want to suck all the users away from
So everybody else? Just jumps on that platform only? Yeah, I mean, there's – exclusivity in it. That's obviously like a part of the incentive for it, but I do think that his ad revenue that he was already producing, well, that's got to be factored in.
It wouldn't make sense for that to happen. You figure guesstimate that Joe has, you know, roughly 10 million listeners, let's just say, you know, for argument's sake. Of those 10 million listeners, I would say 50%, based off of our statistics, knowing our listenership, 50% of those people have Spotify. The other 50% do not. So you have 5 million potential listeners to come over to Spotify. Well, 5 million times $9 a month is still not enough to warrant that much of a contract deal.
But see, there's another part, though. I don't think it's necessarily there's that, but I think it's also that the Rogan podcast is really, really effective at bringing in the occasional, like, non-regular listener. So, like, the Elon Musk episode, for example, I think on YouTube alone had 15 million views. So, I mean, there's a lot of power in that, too, where they're going to get more people just coming to their platform to hear that one, you know, interview or whatever that he did, not necessarily regular. So sure. It's got to be a lot.
Yeah. No, sure. But you would have to be giving up some of your rights to monetize yourself, or else it would also be a win all the way around for Joe. Be just a huge payday and then nothing changes.
And then nothing changes.
Yeah, other than you just put it all on one platform. No, you're giving up some of your rights, which, I mean, let's be honest here, $100-200 million. I think any of us would most certainly have that conversation. Now,
well, what's interesting too, so that means Spotify is going to be beefing up a lot more of their video option part of it, which I didn't even consider. Like, I haven't used Spotify much for podcasts, but the time I did use it, like, video was a little bit minimal, but the actual user experience was so much better. It was just like I could search for things a lot easier. I know a lot of people I've talked to really enjoy it.
Well, you guys know me, right? Since almost the beginning of this podcast, I've been repping Spotify. I've, for a long time, believed that they were going to dominate the space, and I think they've been a great company to watch. And yeah, you're right. If they, I mean, they're already dominating the audio space, streaming space. If they start jumping into video and start taking some part of the market from YouTube, this is going to get interesting really fast.
It is. It's really interesting how these companies are starting to compete with each other. Rogan has got so much. It's incredible how much influence he has over the culture.
Over a short period of time, too. He just really took off.
This is a very exciting time, too, for anybody that's in business in digital streaming, whether you're a YouTuber, you're a podcaster. I mean, if you are into that any of these spaces and making, acquiring real estate and doing well for yourself, there is a very good possibility that in the next, 10 years, we're going to start seeing all these platforms starting to fight over each other, just much like athletes, and you'll see Spotify offering certain people
back in
exclusivity. You'll have YouTube probably starting to do it, and eventually we'll see iTunes, unless, And somebody was talking to me via DM about this when it came out. And I thought, well, that's a possibility. You look at a company that's as powerful as Apple, you know, does Apple sit back and let Spotify do all this shit and then just acquire them?
That's not a bad,
you know, you're talking about one of the most cash rich companies that are out there.
That's not
It'd
a
be
bad
interesting
point.
Because, you know, acquisitions rarely, you know, work. And the thing with the Beats acquisition, I think they might be hesitant because I don't think that went completely the way they wanted it to.
Really?
Yeah. I don't think they made a lot of money off that transaction.
Wow. That's, well, I mean, Rogan's just, his influence is incredible. He's like the, I mean, you said earlier, like the Howard Stern of today. Yeah. I would agree with that. Mm-hmm. I think the things that he says, now so many people listen. He's got crazy, you know, very, very popular guests on the show. It's pretty crazy too, because his, the way that the podcast medium works, it's long form. I mean, really, if you went back 10 years, and you told people that one of the most popular interviewers in the next 10 years is going to be someone that does 3-hour shows.
Yeah.
Nobody would believe you.
Yeah.
You know, it's really
crazy. It's like hard to trust anything that's real short anymore.
Yeah.
Well, you know, talking about, you know, cool tech companies right now, I don't know if you guys saw this or not, but TikTok in Q1 just reported over 2 billion downloads, which broke the record of any app in the past.
Wow.
So, and then Kevin Mayer, I believe is his name, he was one of the executives with Disney, is left to become the CEO for TikTok.
Really?
Yeah.
So now, is TikTok an American company or is it a Chinese company?
I'm pretty sure it's a Chinese company. Yeah. If everybody confirmed that for me last time.
That's interesting. I wonder if that's going to work against them as this whole thing, you know, wears on. Or
I just think that's even interesting that someone like that would. Now, I heard that he got snubbed because he was next in line to go behind Iger. So when he he was supposed to be the next CEO, they didn't give to him. And then he got an opportunity with TikTok and took it. So he bounced with it. He was in charge of like running all their. He launched Disney Plus and in charge of all their streaming.
Now TikTok's super popular. I just don't get it, you know? And I think this is 100%.
It's an age thing, dude.
Yes, it's 100% the old thing.
Well, here's the thing.
Kids are going crazy.
I just don't get it.
Attention today is a commodity. I mean, so if you have that many people's attention, even if we think it's stupid and it's weird and we haven't figured out a good way to utilize it to monetize, doesn't mean that it doesn't have the attention of billions of people and the opportunity for that for advertising or whatever. So
I think what they did really well is they allowed people like just enough to follow something. Like, you know, when you're going to post something or you're going to do something on one of these platforms that are social, it's like you got to just drum up whatever it is. And they like have just all these dances, all these different like challenges and all these things. It's like you just like jump. It's like the fucking Macarena.
Yeah.
It's the Macarena of all the social medias.
What I haven't seen yet, and I remember when Snapchat was exploding, and I had a hard time seeing how would I use this to be a really useful tool for business. And I dabbled in it for a little bit and I just didn't see it. And we had friends in the space that used it and actually had some success with it that I just don't see the application for TikTok for things that we do. And I've seen people in our space already do it. And I just, it's not for me. And what I know of all the platforms, because we're providing information and it's long form conversation and education and entertainment, it's not these short sound bites and clippy. It just doesn't work as well on something like that. And I know there's somebody listening right now like, oh my God, you're missing out. Because
it's a whole different way of communicating.
Yeah, there's all kinds of opportunity on TikTok. I'm not denying that there's opportunity there. I'm not denying there's an opportunity in Snapchat. I mean, there's opportunity in Twitter and we don't maximize that. What I know that we've done as a company is we've honed in on the platforms that work best with what we are doing, right? And so we put, it's like an 80-20 rule. Yes, we have real estate over in Twitter. Yes, we have some stuff in Spotify. Yes, we have all these other things that we've acquired stuff in, but a lot of the energy and focus goes on the mediums that
make as long as they have business value there, you know, then we'll explore that. But speaking of like trends, one trend that has not died is tattoos.
What do you mean?
Because, okay, so do you know in 1993, they found this mummy in Siberia that actually had tattoos still?
Oh, like, wow.
Like, 2,500-year-old mummy that had tattoos all over, like really intricate ones too. Like, because I think there was mummies preceding that even that just had like, you know, just like lines and scribbles. But this was like deer antlers, griffin, and like mountain sheep and all this stuff, like really like well done, like crafted designs on this lady's
that's
arm.
Very cool.
Yeah. I was like, that's so crazy. I didn't know it was that old.
Have you guys seen the way that they do the Polynesian, I think they are tattoos with the tapping.
Oh, yeah. Brutal, yeah.
That's a very old tattoo technique. Apparently supposed to be super, super painful.
Yeah.
So the tattoos we get now, they hurt. Not like they did.
No, not like they did back then.
No. Yeah. Are people using more of these platforms now because they're stuck at home and stuff? Do you know anything like about that, Adam?
Mm. Oh, as far as
I would imagine
like
so.
Instagram and YouTube,
the usage on all that stuff is up ridiculous. I think the stat, I think it was 60% or something. I don't remember what it was up, but it was up dramatically. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's some good news that so they found a human antibody that isolated, found somebody who had recovered from the SARS virus back in 2003, and through their blood they found an antibody that neutralizes, because you know the SARS virus is also a coronavirus, right?
Uh-huh.
This particular antibody neutralizes the coronavirus, the COVID-19 virus.
Hmm.
So they are getting fast-tracked to produce this antibody as a potential treatment for people who get infected, which is fascinating, interesting.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you get this, you get sick, they give you this antibody, and it acts like medicine to make you better.
Oh, interesting.
Which is, I like that a lot because the vaccine, I can already see people pushing back on vaccine. The problem with vaccines, and I'm not saying whether they are good or bad or any of that stuff, I'm not going to get in that conversation, but the problem with them is they're preventative, and anything that's preventative, people, there'll be a debate rather than, I'm already sick, give me something
better. Yeah, I just have reserves about them trying so hard to push it through fast. Like, we have a lot of the checks and balances for reasons, you know, like sometimes like, oh no, like we actually injected, you know, cultures that were still getting people sick.
Dude, that is not a bad point. This is a speed record at how fast we are getting a vaccine to go through the market.
Yeah, I think that might not be a good thing.
Well, it does increase the risk of potential problems and issues. And boy, if it causes some of those, people are going to be like, I'm not doing any ever now.
Right.
You know what I mean? This is kind of an interesting point.
But I want it to work, you know? I'm definitely for vaccines.
Of course. There was another article that I read about mental health right now and how mental health issues are spiking. And some doctors, mental health doctors, are saying this is a matter. Now we're starting to weigh out. The risks are starting to change now. And forcing people to stay home might be causing a lot of people a lot of problems because of the fact that they're not out. They're not around. I notice it myself. How are you? I know your wife's at home. Jessica's at home mainly. And she's starting to tell me that it's starting to affect her a little bit.
Yeah, we had a moment and we were driving. This is another time where we kind of had a moment to just ourselves and not the kids. And we were just trying to have a good time picking up dinner and then just driving. And we're going up and she just had this moment where all this tension just kept building up and just started crying, you know, and was just like, it's just because you can't. She couldn't even hang out with her friends. She just, I know what sparked it. She just had like a Zoom, like happy hour meeting, kind of like we did, you know, but she did it with her friends that she normally sees all the time because the kids' parents, you know, they're the parents of you know, the kids that are friends with our kids. And, you know, they became good friends and she hasn't seen him at all and like has been really isolated with, you know, there by herself. And it's like, I can't go anywhere. And, you know, it just builds up. And I totally understood. I'm like, oh my God. Yeah.
Well, especially someone like Courtney, like we have another friend too that, you know, if you were a woman that has, you know, chose kind of the career path and busted your ass to get to a certain level of success financially on your own, independent, working long hours like she has for a very long time, and she was able to manage that even while raising kids, and then to be at home, that's already a crazy transition, right? Taking that person and saying like, okay, now you're this stay-at-home mom, that's already challenging for that a person like that to go in that transition. Then you slap on like, oh, by the way, now you're going to become a teacher.
Yeah,
that you weren't planning on doing.
Yeah,
like talk about a
never in your plans. By the way,
yeah, exactly. So I totally feel.
And you can't see your friends. You can't go to the mall or whatever just to relax or walk or hang out with people.
I got to think that people similar to Courtney, as far as that type of a situation, have to have some of the biggest shocks.
If I didn't see you guys, because obviously all of our employees are still at home. And all
I know that. I'm lucky because
I didn't come and see you guys and, you know, be able to record these podcasts, I mean, it would be rough.
Yeah.
It'd be really, it is definitely great to get out, hang out, talk, do this, you know, podcasting, then go home.
Yeah.
But if you're just at home and then on top of it, you're doing schooling and all that stuff, this is a very, very challenging time. I hope and I think we're going to come out of it with a higher level of gratitude. I already have.
Yeah.
I'm already more self-aware of the things that I took for granted without even realizing, like being able to go over someone's house and, you know,
shake their hand. Interesting if that sticks around. I actually just read an article in Forbes today that was saying that 60%, they surveyed all the major Fortune 500 companies, and they said 60% of the CFOs predict that we will not get back to normalcy with business for beyond 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So they're saying that this is going to be something that actually takes a while before we even
now,
get back to
some good
normal.
News on that. I think that's probably true. I would agree. This has been a pretty big hit, and consumer behaviors are probably going to be changed. Here's the thing too. There's the damage from the forced shutdowns economically, but I think there's also the damage from consumer behaviors. We already saw changes in consumer behaviors before any of these, you know, shelter in places happened, just from people changing their behaviors. So there's definitely been some changes, but that also drives innovation. So it's going to be interesting to see what is invented and created, how businesses find new ways of reaching people, how they're going to deliver their products and services differently, you know, maybe how they change the way that they spend their money. That's going to be interesting.
Are you guys getting a lot of family and friends that don't have to return to work? Like I have a brother-in-law that hasn't. I heard that Facebook is contemplating right now. I heard Twitter has already announced it. That now that they've gotten through this time without everybody having to come into work, they're realizing like, oh, maybe not. You just don't ever have to come.
My ex-wife doesn't have to go back. She can work forever now from home.
That's cool.
My sister is also going to get the opportunity now to work at home all the time. And I think the reason is the company saw that productivity was still good.
Yeah. Now, how weird is this going to be? Like, I'm sure all those people that now have that option are excited, right? That sounds cool. Like, I don't have to go back into work anymore. Now, how many people are going to start to yearn to go back to work, though?
Oh, yeah.
Like, just to you, it will make you start to, like you said, appreciate those things, you know, you know, instead of dreading going into the job every single day, you start to realize, like, oh, wow, actually, going in and interacting with other humans, even if it's at this, you know, boring office, is still a lot better.
Well, it's kind of how I feel with the home gym thing too, you know, like I love it and I love the convenience and the accessibility of it. And, you know, I can do everything I need to do, but at the same time, I like the gym environment. I like being around, you know, other people lifting weights and, you know, there is something to that. You know, these days it's more of the spa.
No, but, man, we're social creatures. We are social creatures. You want to be around other people. I personally think here's the drawbacks from now being able to work from home all the time. The drawbacks are you don't get to see the B&B around people like you were before. Believe it or not, that's going to be challenging for a lot of people. Here's the other one. Now, when does work turn off? If you're always at home, your office is there anyway, you start to blend two spaces. Like, what do they say about, like, not watching TV in bed, right? If you have sleep issues, what do they always say? Don't watch TV in bed. The bed is only for sleep. Watch TV in other places.
Oh, this was the conversation my brother-in-law were having when he was sharing with me that he's not going to have to go back. And he's like, you know, I'm really having a hard time with my routine. And that was one of the things that he was saying was, blending my home life with my work life. He goes, you know, when I had my schedule, I had this, you know, I get up at 5 o'clock, I do this before I leave to work, and then I'm at work, and then I'm done by this time, and then I shut down, I'm done with work.
Mm-hmm.
Where now he goes, you know, sometimes I kind of take my time, you know, for a couple hours in the morning, and then if I want a break, I'm thinking about one of my hobbies, I might go do my hobby for like
a lot
an hour
more
or two.
Distractions.
It is. I mean, but as an entrepreneur, I think I can. That's something I think we can relate to. That's I've been used to that, right? Mm-hmm. I'm used to learning to set boundaries with my home life and being with family or friends and separating the two, because
it's a learning curve. You're right.
It just takes time to do. I think there's lots of perks to it. I love the person, and it's, I guess it's per person. Like, some people love structure. They want to be like told, this is your time, this is when you break. They do well in that situation. Other people like the freedom and the flexibility. I personally like the freedom and flexibility. Yeah. I like the ability for me to say, you know what, tonight I do feel like I'm going to stay up late, I'm going to grind all night long, and then maybe tomorrow I'm going to cruise. Like, I like that.
Yeah, well, you're also an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And, you know, people who own their own businesses, you know, what do they say about entrepreneurs? They're the only people in the world that'll work 80 hours a week till we avoid working 40 hours a week.
Yeah.
We value our freedom so much.
Autonomy.
Our autonomy so much that That's what we value above all else. I like to be creative. I like to do what I want. A lot of people aren't like that, and that's totally fine. And that blending of both can be, I think there's going to be a learning curve. I think it's going to be a challenge. I personally think for most people, because of course everybody's different, I think it's going to be a little bit of a balance. Honestly, I think it probably will be something like you go to work 2 or 3 days a week, and then the rest of the week you're at home. But you show up there, you have your meetings, you see your coworkers, you do your thing. I think that's still going to be important. I mean, think about like the team atmosphere.
Yeah.
How many companies do well because of the, you know, people working and collaborating and being around each other, the creativity that comes from that. Like when you're at home by yourself and you're Zoom calling, I mean, is that going to be the same?
I think, yeah, partial meetings per week. I think that's pretty reasonable. Yeah, to keep that kind of dynamic and also just to inform everybody what you've been doing.
Did you guys see the article on marijuana and coronavirus?
Oh, I did see it pop up in our forum. I didn't get a chance to read it though. Did you?
So okay. So this is why headlines are kind of crazy. It's like, you know, compound in marijuana may prevent coronavirus. That's kind of true, but not. Don't go smoke weed and then think you're not going to get the coronavirus. But anyway, there was a study that shows.
Strategy.
So there's this there's this this protein that acts as the primary gateway that the coronavirus gets into the body. It's called the ACE2. It's an ACE2 receptor, if you will.
The ass tube.
Yeah. It's not the ass tube. ACE2. Now, apparently, a combination of THC and CBD lowers the gene expression that produces and regulates this ACE2 protein or this receptor. So in other words, using THC and CBD may actually reduce this receptor, which prevents the virus from getting into your body. So it could help, potentially. That's what they saw in one study, and they're theorizing that. So what's so funny about that?
I just think it's like reaching, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm so pro-marijuana, and I think that's reaching.
Yeah, I don't know. Wouldn't that be funny, though?
Yeah, that'd be great.
How hilarious would that be? Everybody start smoking weed right now.
Yeah.
You won't get sick. Could you imagine?
All right.
Could you imagine
dude,
that?
That's so funny.
People would forget.
Yeah, they'd forget to do it.
They'd forget
the problem.
To, what was going on. Anyway, dude, I wanted to give a shout-out to Serene. She did an excellent her YouTube video did very well.
Her last YouTube
video. She's been killing it.
It's going viral right now. Really, really good. I think it was titled like the prerequisites to before getting six-pack abs or something like that.
Yeah, it's a really good, basically, for core.
Yeah, so good. And, you know, I'm not sure that we did a demo like this on YouTube before. And I know we've talked about on the podcast several times about teaching a perfect sit-up, right? And I know we've talked about a perfect sit-up, and I believe we had Stephanie on there a long time ago who taught one. But what I liked that Serene did is the perfect sit-up is damn near impossible for like 80% of the clients that I ever train.
Oh, yeah.
To do it right.
Right.
So she teaches the regression of it and how to teach someone to be able to do it with the band. And so that, I think, is extremely valuable. So if you haven't gone on there and, you know, you're looking for good ab training, I really think that that video, what she gets into, probably really encompasses what everybody should start with and really get the ability to, like, articulate the hips and the spine really, really well so you can get full contraction and control of your abs, which most people lack and don't even realize.
Yeah,
the
name of the video is The Number One Movement Prerequisite to Building Six-Pack Abs. So with the perfect sit-up, when you're doing that, what you're really doing is you're really getting the abs to lift your body up off the floor so you do a sit-up. One of the biggest problems with the way people train their core is that they confuse this you know, lumbar spine flexion with hip flexion. And so they do a lot of hip flexors, or the abs just stabilize while they do what looks like a good ab or core exercise. So this particular movement that she shows in this video, she shows you regressions, because a perfect sit-up, if you have poor connection, you know, I know we use that word loosely, or that term loosely, but in other words, if you have trouble really fully working and contracting the abs in a full range of motion, doing a perfect sit-up can be really, really hard for a lot of people, especially when you do it really, really slow. So she shows you ways to scale it back, feel the movement move through. This was a game changer for me. Not this particular movement, but what she's addressing was a game changer. When I finally realized this, my abs went from, you know, you couldn't really see them unless I was shredded, to, wow, you could see them even when my body fat percentage is higher.
Oh, this was a game changer for me, for sure. I mean, because after you really understand how to do a perfect sit-up, you apply that form to every other ab exercise. Yeah,
now you can recruit that every time you do something.
Oh, yeah. Even when we do, what's your favorite one that you do on the decline bench that you love to do all the sit-ups that you always like to
do?
And that understanding how to keep your chin and your spine rolled as you open up and roll out versus just flapping back and up.
Uh-huh.
Because like you said, a lot of times people, they feel it in their abs because their abs are tensing. It's like
an isometric hold. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like an isometric exercise. They're tensing like crazy. If you have somebody on a decline sit-up bench and like say they're holding a weight or whatever and they go back, pay attention. Most people have like a straight back and they go all the way down and they come back up. And yeah, they feel it in their abs because they're isometrically contracted and they're holding weight, so it's hard, but they're actually not doing that movement right. In fact, when you are in that position, you should be in this crunched over rolled position and then you should unroll yourself and roll back, and it was the perfect sit-up, and learning to train that first, that just like completely changed how I did all exercises.
Yeah, once you kind of figure out what the full action of a muscle is, then when you train that muscle in an exercise, you can really maximize the benefit of that exercise. But first you have to know what that muscle does in its full action. Now, the way you learn that is not by going on the internet and looking up, you know, what is the function of the bicep? What is the function of the quadricep? What is the function of the abs? That'll give you a clue, but the problem is if you don't know what it feels like
or looks like,
you can't access it, right? You can't access it until you can feel it.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do these movements properly and you start to feel, oh, that's what it's supposed to feel like, now you understand the difference between my abs are just tense and when I'm moving it through a full range of motion.
And remember, when we talk about videos like this, like Jackie puts the link in the show notes. So it's, what is it, at our mindpumppodcast.com, right, Doug?
That's it.
Correct.
Right. That's so you go to mindpumppodcast.com on this episode and there'll be a show link for the videos anytime we talk about stuff like this.
Yeah, by the way, this is one of the ways that priming really benefits the body. One of the big reasons why you may have a body part that's just not responding, like your abs or let's say it's your glutes or something else, is because you don't really fully understand what it feels like to move it through a full range of motion, to really connect to it. You just don't know because you haven't been doing it. You don't know what that feels like. So how can you possibly access it? Well, when you prime properly before your workouts, then you do that. Then you get into the exercise, like, I know what to aim for. You know what I mean? I know what I'm supposed to feel, and now I can adjust the exercise and cause it to feel that way, and then you get exceptional results.
Today's Quad is brought to you by Maps Anabolic. If you're looking to maximize your overall muscle and strength, Maps Anabolic is the perfect place to start. With a full 30-day money-back guarantee, there is absolutely zero risk. So what are you waiting for? Go to mindpumpmedia.com and get started today.
It's the motherfucking Quad.
The eagle has landed.
Quee-qua.
First question is from Kyle Fenley. What is the best supplement for or remedy for joint pain? I've been running a lot more on the street and have been experiencing some knee pain.
Let's fix the question first. Because usually, I mean, this is common, right? The first place people look when they have a problem is, let me take something to fix that. Now, are there supplements that can help with inflammation, that can help with this kind of stuff? Yes. Are those things going to fix the root cause of the pain? Probably not. It's what your knee hurts probably not because you're not taking a supplement. It's probably because you're not moving in a way that is optimal for your knee. Now, more often than not, knee pain, in my experience training people, comes from either you go up and down. It's either the hips or more commonly it's coming from the feet and the ankles. And so I'd say work on mobility on those and then see what happens.
Well, this is what's exciting about the Prime webinar that Justin just did. Because this is, and if you have questions like this, if you're listening right now and you're trying to get to the bottom of your knee or your hip or your neck or your shoulder or low back, and you've got pain issues and you're not sure what it is, you should be in this webinar. It's free. Like, absolutely. I don't think I've ever had a client that it wasn't due to those things, Sal. Unless it was an acute injury, right? Unless somebody broke something, or
tore something.
Yeah, it'd be very obvious as how it happened at
right.
that point.
If you're not sure of it, it's always, in my opinion, a movement issue.
Mm-hmm.
You're not moving properly, and then it's stressing a joint, right? Or
that's
a
right.
ligament. So look into that, and that's why we created Prime. That's why we also did this webinar for free, is to help people assess themselves and get to the bottom of it. And something like that, it's not a just one-time quick fix. There's work to be done there, and you got to correct those patterns, which means it's going to take some time and some effort. But the beauty is, man, I tell you, when you do, it's amazing. I mean, I battled with low back pain and bursitis as a trainer, as somebody working out and has abs and looked all great and, you know, think everything on the outside looking in, everybody thought must be in perfect shape. But no, inside, I still had movement issues that I wasn't moving properly. And so I was still battling with the bursitis in my hips and the low back. It wasn't until I addressed all that, which took some work. But once I did, it completely eliminated that. So you got to get to the bottom. You got to get to the root cause. Make sure you're in the webinar.
Yeah. Well, and I also think a lot of people just aren't really aware of, you know, what good proper movement and technique really looks like. You know, I think that people assume that if they can get into certain positions, that's everything. Like, this is, I can get into this position, but now all of a sudden I feel pain. How do I remedy this pain? You know, where is the movement dysfunction? Where is that occurring? And you have to go through some bit of like investigative work for that. And that's why we tried to simplify it as much as we could to really pinpoint, okay, if you can't move your ankle this way, or your knee doesn't have this full range of motion because there's restriction in the hip, or there's restriction, you know, based off of like your feet stabilizing properly, you know, these are all things that are going to contribute to pulling your knees into an unfavorable position.
Yeah, look, this is an analogy, and it's it sounds silly, but it's very similar. It's like somebody banging their head against a wall and they're like, man, my head hurts. Like, do you have any medicine I can take to help me with my head hurting? Or do you have a helmet I could wear so that my head doesn't hurt? And you're just like, just don't bang your head against the wall. When you're having these kind of chronic problems, find the root and fix it, because no supplement, no medicine is going to fix that. In fact, we know this. Look, the most powerful pain-relieving over-the-counter things you could take are non-steroidal anti-inflammatories. Ibuprofen is one of them. Naproxen is another one. Studies actually show that using those regularly contributes to more problems, partially because it blunts the pain, the inflammatory signal, which is part of the healing process. And the other one is probably because people don't fix the root cause, because, oh, I take this pill, I don't hurt anymore, so I'm just going to keep hammering myself. Here's the proper way to use supplements in this case. If your pain is preventing you from doing good mobility movements, I would say look at some supplements that can help balance out the inflammatory process. Don't block the inflammatory process with drugs, but see how you can balance them out. So fish oil, if your diet is lacking in omega-3s, can actually reduce inflammation.
Turmeric
is another one that can actually reduce inflammation. Organifi makes a supplement called Move that contains some, you know, holy basil and some other components that have been shown to balance out the inflammatory process in the body. Taking that supplement, you'll notice general less stiffness. But again, I'm going to stress this. If your knee pain goes away because of a supplement, that doesn't mean you fixed why your knee was hurting in the first place.
Right.
Look at your mobility. Look at your hips. If it's your knee, look at your hips, ankles, and feet. The odds are that's where the problem's coming from.
Next question is from Russell Gerwer. With all the uncertainty around gyms reopening, everyone is investing in at-home gyms to progress their fitness during these challenging times. What, in your opinion, are the must-have pieces of equipment for an at-home gym? Mm. What should someone expect to spend?
Now, first off, you don't need any equipment to work out. Okay, that's true. Now, equipment makes it a lot easier, and it gives you much more variety, novelty, gives you a lot more options. But you really don't necessarily need equipment or much equipment at all to have a good workout. I mean, we create a program called Maps Anywhere, where all you need is a stick, so you can use a broomstick, and resistance bands very, very minimally. Now, that being said, if somebody says, I want to buy equipment so I can work out, the first piece of equipment that I would recommend you buy is dumbbells. Dumbbells are the most versatile piece of equipment that exists. I could train any body part with a pair of just adjustable dumbbells. So I'll start right there.
Well, I think that, I mean, we love our PRX setup. I mean, that's, I mean, we built it at this place. We're getting it done in the studio. Justin has one in his house. So I love how functional it is. I love how you can tuck it away on the wall and still use your garage for parking your car. So I think that's, I think the question that you have to first ask yourself, though, is this going to be a potential long-term solution for you? Or do you have plans to, as soon as the gyms open back up, you're done utilizing these tools and you're going back in? If that's the case, I actually wouldn't invest very much at all. In fact, I would just say, hey, here's a great time for me to do training like I would never do it before, to your original point, Sal, which is, you know, doing like a MAPS Anywhere type of program, which doesn't require any equipment whatsoever. And, you know, I know that's hard for some of us guys that have been used to lifting in the gym all the time, but one of the best things sometimes for that client that's training all the time, that would be like a 2-month hiatus away from the gym and doing something that's more body weight focused. You'll have great, you may not see the same gains that you were getting when you were lifting heavy weight inside the gym, but you'll see when you come back, a lot of times the gains accelerate. So, you know, one of the best things for someone that is thinking that this is just for this temporary time while we're all in shelter in place, you know, I don't know if I go out and invest thousands of dollars or even hundreds of dollars to try and get some equipment just to kind of hold me over until I'm going to go back in the gym. If my plan is to go back in the gym, I'm going to follow a program that maybe doesn't require hardly anything and train areas or do mobility like we've talked about before and focus on areas that I'm probably not addressing as much when I go inside the gym and do meathead style lifting, then I would do that. But if you think that this may be a potential change forever, like, okay, I'm kind of digging this being at home, or you know what, I'm going to invest at home. Who knows when these gyms are going to open, and maybe that's going to be my new place that I work out. Well, then, yeah, I mean, PRX, I think, is the best at this.
I love working at home. It's always been my favorite, and all I need for me to do all my workouts are dumbbells, barbell, and some kind of a rack. PRX rack is my favorite. It's so low profile. It's very, very sturdy. It literally folds up into the wall. But some kind of a rack so you can squat off of it. You could bench off of it. And an adjustable bench. Dumbbells, barbell, squat rack, adjustable bench. I can do everything. I could do everything with that. I really don't need anything else. You could throw resistance bands in it. You could throw a couple of things. But that's all I would say you need. Now, a rack, dumbbells, a barbell, adjustable bench, you could get for... And now, here's a problem. Unfortunately, as of the recording of this podcast, equipment is hard to come by. So the price of everything has gone up quite a bit. Before all this went down, I would say you could get all of that for anywhere between $1,000 to $2,000 for good quality, you know, pretty sturdy equipment. Not tons and tons of weight, but enough for most people.
It's like 3X that now.
Yeah, now it's going to be kind of tough to find stuff. Things are, the markup on them is just insane.
Well, I know I talked a bit to the guys over at PRX, and I know that their racks are still available, and they're shipping those out pretty good time wise. But the plates are really hard to come by now. You know, dumbbells, obviously, those types of things. If you're going for the long term strategy, I do think that, you know, a good rack is definitely a good investment. You know, wherever you could find one, or even if you're a do-it-yourself, you know, kind of a person, you're handy and you can build. We've seen a few examples of that on the forum and people getting creative. But I do find that to be very useful, that and, you know, an adjustable bench and, like you said. But I also really like kettlebells, and I just like them for the short-term strategy, for the versatility they provide, for the different stimulus they provide. You can have a lot of workouts that are similar to dumbbell workouts, but now it's just loaded different. It provides a little different type of range of motion, and I tend to gravitate towards that for outdoor workouts and things like that for a nice change of pace.
Along those lines, Justin, I mean, I like suspension trainers too.
Yes, of course.
Yeah. You know, you can get those for very reasonable online. They're still available, and you could strap one of those up to almost anywhere, a tree outside, and get a phenomenal workout. And a lot of people don't know this. In our MAPS Anywhere program, we actually have a suspension trainer mod. There's a whole series of exercises that Justin and I shot well before we got together with Sal and Doug and created Mind Pump. We had built out some programming that was around the suspension trainer. So if you have the MAPS Anywhere program, you actually have access that's already. And that's a very reasonably priced piece of equipment that you can do anything on.
You can. And while all of this stuff is going on, while all this uncertainty is going on, we're going to keep Maps Anywhere at half off. What's the code for that again? Is it white? Is it white 50 for Maps Anywhere?
Yes, white 50.
White 50. So you go, you could use that code and get half off, and that's a great, you know, almost equipment free workout. All you need are bands and a stick.
Next question is from Adam Kotzmeier. In your experience, what's the most effective weekly caloric surplus when trying to put on weight and muscle?
Weekly caloric surplus.
Not very much.
Yeah, wow. You know what? It depends, right? It depends a lot on the person, but I think Adam's 100% right. I used to think it was a huge surplus.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
First off, it depends on the person, okay? So if you're somebody with a really fast metabolism, you burn a lot of calories, you're going to need to eat a lot more calories to get a surplus than other people. But I would say if you want to make sure that it's lean body mass, I wouldn't go above, 500 calories over your daily requirements is a pretty decent surplus. It's still pretty big. That'll ensure that you're gaining a decent amount of muscle with a good program, but you can even do it with like a 200 calorie.
Yeah, I love the 250 to 500 range. The thing that comes with that though is the mental fuck. You just got to be ready for that, because if you do it just right and you're hitting the sweet spot, you don't see a huge jump on the scale. So and that's the hard part about
muscle doesn't pile on super fast.
No, and if you got good programming, there's a good chance you're also leaning out, so you could be losing body fat. So, you know, don't use the scale as your main guide of you're doing a good job of gaining muscle. You could be doing a great job of gaining muscle, but not really moving. In fact, if I know I'm on a new program, right? That's one of my favorite things. I switch a client that was just leaning out. Now we're switching over to a muscle building. When I switch to muscle building, I like to switch the stimulus. So I want a whole new program. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter what we were following before. We're following something new, so it's a new stimulus. And now, and in addition to that, I'm going to bump 200 to 500 calories to their diet and just let the programming and the good consistency of the diet do its work. And I'm not going to stress about the scale. Now, if I see the scale going down, that's an indicator I could definitely probably bump a few more calories in there. But if I stay about the same or see just a little bit of an increase on the scale, I know I'm probably right in that sweet spot. And I've found that falls somewhere around that 250, 500 to hit the sweet spot. Also, like Sal said, depending on the person, where I start to get in trouble myself and anytime I've done this with clients is when I start pushing 1,000 calories and beyond. And the problem with that is that helps you mentally, because when you're pushing 1,000 calories, you're going to put weight on. I mean, the extra carbs and calories, the water weight you're going to add, probably the body fat that's going to come on with it, that's a little more motivating because you're going to get on the scale every week. Oh, I'm up 2 more pounds. Oh, I'm up 2 more pounds. And so you think you're having great progress, but in reality, kind of like we talked about before, you're starting to add body fat at just as high as a rate as you're putting muscle on. And in fact, you'll end up having a higher body fat.
Yeah.
Percentage.
Now, how do you figure this out for yourself? I would suggest you get yourself a food tracking app, track your food intake for the next couple weeks. Don't change anything at all. And then just go 250 to 500 calories above that. Make sure your protein intake is high. So you want to aim for around 1 gram of protein per pound of body weight. So make sure that that's there first. Then when you add the extra calories, you can do it in the form of fat or carbohydrates. That's totally up to you. Some people do better with a higher fat diet. Some people do better with a higher carbohydrate diet. I gain more muscle when they're generally balanced. If I go low carb, I tend to not get as great of a performance than with I have a decent amount of carbs. Not super high for me. That tends to bother my gut. But 250 to 500 a day. By the way, this is an average. One thing we didn't say was it doesn't have to be 250 to 500 surplus every day.
Right.
In fact, I think it's better where some days are higher and other days are lower. So maybe you have a 100 calorie surplus one day, the next day it's 600 calorie surplus, the next day it's 400 calorie. But overall for the whole week, you're averaging 250 to 500 more calories a day than you were eating before.
Next question is from Randy Weezy 22. What's your take on doing a weekly 24-hour fast? I'd like to do a monthly 48-hour fast as it is, but I'd like to consider doing a 24-hour weekly fast to reset and get things flowing better for the rest of the week.
I like both of those. Mm-hmm. I do. Just make sure they're for the right reasons,
right?
That's
it right there.
I like both of them, but it does. I mean, don't use it for a weight loss strategy. That's what I tend to see. Like, people think it's a good weight loss strategy. I don't think it's that. That's the reason why I prefer the 48 to 72 once a month over the every single week. But I think the right person in the right mindset that isn't using it as a way for you to restrict calories, and just to lose weight. I think if you're doing it for all the other reasons, I think it's a very valuable tool.
Now, fasting, when it's used as a way of detaching, as a way of meditation, as a spiritual practice, as a way to reset how you're craving food, reset your relationship to food in a healthy way, great. It's a wonderful tool. If you start to fast because you're trying to lose weight, that's called starving yourself. That turns into a bad relationship to food. Never really works out well. If anything, it contributes to... Here's how you know if fasting is working for you. Do you find yourself binging afterwards? Mm. If you find yourself binging afterwards, then you're probably not doing fasting for the right reasons. If you fast the right way, when you're done, you ease into eating and you find that your relationship to food and your eating habits are just healthier. And I don't mean healthier by the food you're eating. That's part of it. But I mean healthier in the sense of how you feel. You feel comfortable moving forward. Now, I prefer longer fasts less frequently than shorter fasts more frequently, personally.
Yeah, that was kind of my thought. And I went through a period where I was trying to do a fast a lot more frequently. Like, it was like every other week I would do one 24-hour fast. And, you know, I loved it for the digestive benefits. So just to allow my body to really reset and I have like certain issues already I'm working on, you know, with my digestive tract. So this allowed me to just be able to, you know, come back fresh and feel like, you know, like I had enough adequate time to be able to benefit from that and like perform better in terms of my eating. But I started to do it so frequently to where it was affecting my energy levels. And this is something I did. It was very subtle, but it really added up after a while where I would feel that effect in the gym and just, you know, having a hard time putting food down and really like, you know, having that hunger. That hunger was so suppressed at a certain point that I had to start really working on adding breakfasts back in and adding, you know, more frequency of eating. So you just got to be conscious of like what that balance is for you specifically.
Yeah. Fasting done for the wrong reasons or for the wrong people, applied improperly, can cause hormone issues and cause performance issues. And of course, it could contribute to a bad relationship to food that looks like starving and binging. So if you're going to fast, don't do it for body composition goals. If that's your reason, then you're doing it the wrong way. And with that, go to mindpumpfree.com. You can download all of our guides, resources, and books. You can also find all of us on Instagram, including the producer, Doug. You can find Doug at mindpumpdoug. You can find Justin at mindpumpjustin, Adam at mindpumpadam, and me at Mind Pump South.
Thank you for listening to Mind Pump. If your goal is to build and shape your body, dramatically improve your health and energy, and maximize your overall performance, check out our discounted RGB Super Bundle at mindpumpmedia.com. The RGB Super Bundle includes MAPS Anabolic, MAPS Performance, and MAPS Aesthetic, 9 months of phased expert exercise programming designed by Sal, Adam, and Justin to systematically transform the way your body looks, feels, and performs. With detailed workout blueprints and over 200 videos, the RGB Super Bundle is like having Sal, Adam, and Justin as your own personal trainers, but at a fraction of the price. The RGB Super Bundle has a full 30-day money-back guarantee, and you can get it now, plus other valuable free resources at mindpumpmedia.com. If you enjoy this show, please share the love by leaving us a 5-star rating and review on iTunes and by introducing Mind Pump to your friends and family. We thank you for your support, and until next time, this is Mind Pump.